Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are here to celebrate the gift of this day, a gift from God. Let us celebrate the giver. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're with us, and especially if you happen to be here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently, we want to extend our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith. And those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks they don't know to shake your hand and extend that same wish. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find somebody you don't know, which if you're a visitor should be pretty easy. You introduce yourselves to us. Of course, one way to become a part of a family of faith is to become a part of what God is doing in and through this congregation. There are lots of those opportunities listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few in the announcement time today. First of all, our habitat build is coming up. We still need a few volunteers for that build. You can look in your bulletin insert for what is still needed and email Lisa Guak and let her know if you can help. Also, we are preparing for Room in the Inn, a long-term ministry that this church takes part in. If you would like to go ahead and sign up for Wednesday evening for Room in the Inn, you will find out in Reed Hall a table where you can do just that. They will be happy to see you and happy to put your name down in one of those slots. You know, I've been reminding you to be sure and call if you're coming for dinner on Wednesday evening, and please keep doing that. But I'm going to add another request. If you are on a standing reservation and for some reason you can't show up, please let us know that too. Or if you made a reservation and something came up and you just couldn't make it, please let us know that. It really does help with the food camp. So make your reservation. If you need to, cancel your reservation. Okay? Thanks. Some learning opportunities here. First of all, starting point. It's new to West End. And if you are new to West End, or you've been around a long while and you just haven't gotten plugged in into a small group, you want to take that next step in your spiritual life, this is a six-week class. It's a great place to start this process. You can meet new folks. You can explore our grace-filled faith. And you can explore your role in loving God and your neighbor and how you live that out. This will begin on Sunday, October 9th at our Sunday school hour in room 303. We'll be announcing it the next week or two as well. But October 9th, 9:45, 303. Okay? Also, another opportunity, if you just would like to learn what is a Methodist, Aaron Racine and Chris Allen will be leading a six-week pilgrimage study following the life of John Wesley, exploring the defining characteristics of a Methodist Christian, and why any of that should matter to us today. This short-term group begins this coming Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m. in room 310. So if you'd just like to explore a little bit more about what it means to be a Methodist, come and join Chris and Aaron for that as well. Have you ever been in a place where you just felt invisible? I mean, you were there, and you were obviously there, but it was like no one paid any attention to you? Or perhaps you have been the one who were in a room with others and they were invisible to you. Jesus tells a story about a guy who was pretty much invisible. Stick around, we'll talk about it.
Secure. The Spirit of God is present with us here and now. We worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We worship our God, for He is worthy. Let us say in unison this call to confession. The Lord God calls us to move, live, and grow in the Spirit of Christ, to strive for perfection, to serve and love our neighbor, and to be a holy and living sacrifice. Often we fall short of this high calling, but God, who is faithful, is quick to forgive. Let us then confess our sins before God and one another. Receive this prayer. Help us, O God, to keep the faith, to be true to you and true to our best selves. Keep us from living as if the only thing that mattered was being among the privileged. On behalf of ourselves in this world, we ask forgiveness for letting differences lead to conflict, for ignoring the needs of our neighbors near and far, for failing to help those who suffer most. Forgive us all. Let your light never cease to shine upon us with its vision of life as it was meant to be lived. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. Christ rose from the dead. This proves God's power over death and destruction, and testifies to God's commitment to making all things new. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Tal and Natalie Goldsby bring their son, DeWitt Talmadge Goldsby Jr., and Timothy and Katie Foster bring their daughter, Lydia Fern Young Foster, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Initiated in the Christ Holy Church, we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price.
Natalie and Tal, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Okay. Now, Katie and Timothy, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these children with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you sat in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water in these children who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Christ, through your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns with you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Good position here. Turn you around here. There we go. Yeah. Good. What name is given this child? DeWitt Talmadge, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You may lay hands on him. And now the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Mom, you can take him back there. Okay, thanks. Okay. There. You can come to me too. What name is given this child?
Lydia Fern.
Lydia Fern, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to lay hands on her. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. If you all will come out with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face these children? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother and sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend DeWitt Talmadge and Lydia Fern to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. DeWitt Talmadge and Lydia Fern, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Child of blessing, child of promise,
as we prepare to hear the word of God read, let us pray the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Hear what the Word of God has to say to you today. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And though we have a bunch of young folks up here already, if you would care to join us, you would be welcome to do so. You just heard Dane read a story that Jesus told, and its two main characters in the first part of the story are a rich man and a beggar. Well, I have a story for you that's kind of like this one, except it has a man who owns a restaurant and a beggar. This was a long time ago in a far country, and there was a man who was really known for making wonderful soup. He owned a restaurant, and he made the best soup, some said, in the whole world. Well, people came from all around, and they paid great amounts of money for just a taste of his soup. Outside his door, though, there was a beggar. And the beggar would ask for soup, but never received any. The man would say, "You have money?" The beggar said, "No, I wouldn't be begging if I had money." The man said, "No money, no soup." So the beggar was reduced to standing outside the door of the restaurant and breathing in the wonderful aroma of the soup. He could smell the soup, and it smelled so good. So he would just stand out there in front of the restaurant and breathe in that wonderful smell. Well, several times the man who owned the restaurant tried to get him to go away, to shoo him away, but he kept coming back because it smelled so good. He would just stand there and breathe in the smell. Till finally, the man who owned the restaurant said, "Look, you are stealing the smell of my soup from me, and if you don't go away, I'm going to have you arrested." You think you can steal the smell of a soup? That's kind of silly, isn't it? But anyway, the man wouldn't leave. He kept standing out in front and smelling the soup. So the restaurant owner called the police, had him dragged off. They went before a judge, and this was a very wise and a very fair judge. The judge said, "What's the problem here?" Well, the man who made the soup said, "Look, I make the best soup in the world. I charge huge prices for this soup. And this man, this beggar, standing outside of my shop, has been standing there breathing in the smell of my soup so much so that nobody else can even smell it." Well, now that wasn't quite true, was it? "He is stealing the smell of my soup, and I want you to throw him into jail." The judge said, "How does one steal a smell?" So he turned to the beggar and said, "What's your side of the story?" And the beggar said, "Well, part of what the man said is true. I don't think it's stealing, and I didn't intend to steal anything, but every time I would ask him for soup, he refused to give me any. So all I'm left with is standing outside his shop and smelling the wonderful aroma of his soup. So I did take the smell of his soup. But there was plenty left for other people. No, believe me. But I did take that, but I didn't think it was stealing." Well, the judge thought about it a minute. He thought, now what would be the best repayment for taking the smell of soup? He came upon an idea. He reached under his robes and into his pocket, and he pulled out a coin, large round coin. And he handed the coin to the beggar. He said, "I want you to hold that coin up to the light so that it casts a shadow." And sure enough, when the beggar held it up to the light was so bright that the coin cast a pretty good sized shadow. He called the restaurant owner over and said, "All right, I want you to hold out your hand." He held out his hand. He said, "Okay, beggar, I want you to move that coin until the shadow of the coin falls right in the middle of the restaurant owner's hand. Because I decree that the proper payment for the stealing of a smell is the shadow of a coin." Pretty smart judge, huh? And so the man went free, and the judge got his coin back, I understand, and the man who made the soup never tried to have the man arrested anymore. Now, I'm going to tell a story that Jesus told that you heard read that's very similar. It's a lot like this story, and see if you can find the ways that it's similar. If you notice some ways and you have the time, tell what you noticed on the way out, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us the example of your love in Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to follow him in his way. Thank you for giving us the stories that teach us how to do that. With your help, that's exactly what we want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, now this is a hard story, isn't it? This is a part of an ongoing theme in Luke, and it's almost like the story you heard today that Jesus told could be a midrash or an explanatory story for the text that we ended with last Sunday. Last Sunday, we ended with Jesus saying, "You cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and ignore the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, mammon often gets translated money or wealth, but it's a good deal more than that. Mammon is what we today might call privilege. Wealth is part of that, but privilege is that thing that you are allowed to do that others are shut out of, are not allowed. For example, if you belong to a club, you pay your dues, you are able to go, your guests are able to go, but people who have not paid their dues and don't belong to that club are not able to go. You have that privilege, right? So in essence, Jesus is not simply critiquing wealth or money. He's critiquing a whole culture of privilege. He starts this way. Once there was a rich man. Already we know something's wrong with this story. The rich man should have a name, right? If I asked you who the richest people in the world were, you could probably name a few names, couldn't you? I bet you could. Bill Gates? Warren Buffett? There are probably some others. You see their names on television. You see their names in magazines. We know who the rich folks are, the richest of the rich, and they have names. Now, the poor, that's something else. They're generic, the poor, you know. Jesus turns that on its head. In this story, it's the rich man who has no name. He is a generic figure, the rich man. There are those in the past who have taken that term, which had dives, which they'd taken for a name, but it's not a name at all. Dives simply means rich man. So he is this nameless, faceless, privileged character. How do we know he's privileged? He dresses in purple. Who dresses in purple in the ancient world? Royalty. The 0.001%, that's who dresses in purple. He wears fine linen. He eats sumptuously every day. Now, I'm not talking about on birthdays and anniversaries. I'm talking about every meal, every day. All right? He eats sumptuously. He is the privileged of the privileged. And Jesus wants us to know that. He tells us that in the very first sentence. Then he introduces another character. Then there was a beggar named Lazarus. He gives the beggar a name. And not only does he give the beggar a name, it's not just any name like Bill or Joe or Michael. It's the name of one of his best friends. When you think about the people Jesus associated with, he associated with the apostles. He associated with other disciples, but he had a few folks who are portrayed in the Gospels as his intimate friends. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus are probably followers and disciples too, but in the Gospels, they are his friends. He names the poor man after one of his closest friends. How does that change the story, huh? The rich man's kind of a cipher out here, and the poor man has the faiths of one of our closest friends. He sits at the rich man's gate every day. He lives in a gated house to keep people like Lazarus out. Longing for what the rich man fed his dogs. Longing to have even what he would throw away from his table. In the Middle East, you use bread as a spoon. You still do to this day. Sometimes you just eat the bread along with it, but sometimes if the bread gets too soggy, you can just throw it to the dogs. He doesn't even get that. The rich man does not even acknowledge Lazarus to the point that Lazarus receives what the man feeds his dog. For the rich man, Lazarus does not exist. And so we're dealing with an issue in Jesus' story that is an issue today as well. And that is, whose life matters? Jesus is pretty clear about the lives that matter because Lazarus's life does not matter to the rich man at all. He doesn't even exist. But Jesus names him because he knows that when people have traditionally been left out and their lives have not mattered, they need to be named. So, what does Lazarus get? The man lets his dogs out, and the dogs come and lick Lazarus's sores. That's all he gets. Then we're told Lazarus dies and angels come and carry him to the bosom of Abraham. Now, to be a child of Abraham is a form of privilege in the ancient world. To be children of Abraham is to define privilege within Jesus' context. Although Jesus does say that God could turn a bunch of rocks into children of Abraham if God wanted to. So it's not a status of privilege in Jesus' eyes. But angels come and carry him. I mean, what kind of funeral procession is that? That's better than one you get in New Orleans, right? The angels come and they carry you off to Abraham's bosom. Well, if Lazarus gets that kind of funeral procession, just imagine what the rich man's going to get. Jesus said, and the rich man died and was buried and went to hell. Ow, that's not the way this story's supposed to go, is it? The rich man died and was buried. Done. No angels, no Abraham's bosom, Hades, where he is tormented. Whoa. But the rich man, we hope, learns something from this, right? Maybe this beggar that is outside his door has gained some humanity, a face. Maybe his life actually matters now. We learn pretty quickly that's not the case because it's still all about the rich man. He says, I'm burning up over here. Won't you send that boy to go get me some water to cool my tongue? Won't you send Lazarus? He still thinks Lazarus is there to serve his needs. He still thinks it's all about him. He hadn't learned a thing. So Abraham sets him straight. Abraham said, whoa, 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 wait just a minute. You had all your good stuff in life. Don't you remember that? You were waited on hand and foot in life. You had sumptuous meals in life. And Lazarus had nothing except your dogs to lick his wounds. And that wasn't your doing, that was the dogs' doing. So now the tables are turned. And you are there, and he is here with me. And there is a deep chasm that divides us. Who made that chasm? He doesn't say that God made it. It's my opinion that the rich man made that chasm. Because you see, to him, there was always a chasm between him and Lazarus. Because Lazarus' life did not matter. He had no face. He wasn't real until the rich man needed something, needed to be waited on. And then he was willing to call him by name and have him wait on him. Well, the rich man says, if you can't send him to help me, at least send him to help my five brothers. I have five brothers, and they are just the way I was. They're privileged. They're wealthy. They wouldn't have done any more for Lazarus than I did. Send him to warn them. You see, he still thinks Lazarus is his servant. Send him to warn my brothers. At least there's a little humanity and compassion in him caring about his brothers, but not much. And Abraham says, they've got Moses and the prophets. They've got the Torah and the prophets. Let them read the Bible. It's all in there. If they read the Bible and can't get this, come on. We've got the Bible too, haven't we? Jesus said, summarizing the Torah and the prophets, that if you followed two commandments, you could do everything that the law required. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The only problem was, you have to understand that your neighbor's life matters. The rich man did not see Lazarus as a neighbor. He had the law and the prophets. He just didn't choose to follow them. So Abraham says, they got the Bible. Let them read the Bible and do what it says. Because they would not believe even if someone came back from the dead. Who comes back from the dead? Well, first of all, Lazarus does, right? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Not the character, but his friend. And then, of course, Jesus comes back from the dead. So you know what? I think Luke is adding a little commentary there about his own time. Because there were still people in the Christian community who were acting like the rich man, who were receiving their privileges, not sharing those privileges, not seeing their neighbor as a neighbor, not understanding that their neighbor's life matters. And they did have someone who had come back from the dead. And guess what, folks? So do we. We have the Torah, we have the prophets, and we have somebody who came back from the dead to teach us how to love God and to love our neighbor, and we still don't get it. And I think one reason we don't get it is that privilege is a hard thing to get beyond. First of all, when you've grown up with privilege, it's invisible to you. You don't even recognize how privileged you are. They're talking to us, folks. We don't recognize our own privileges and are unwilling to acknowledge that things we get by with, other people get killed for. Things we get warned about, other people go to jail for. And the second thing, the second reason it's hard to get beyond privilege, is because we like it. It benefits us, and we feel deprived if other people have what we have. That's not what the Torah says. That's not what the prophets say. And that is not what the man who came back from the dead said to us. Our desire to hold on to all of our privileges is like a man who makes soup and thinks he can own the smell of it. What is the payment for stealing the smell of soup? It's the shadow of a coin, not a coin. It's the shadow. I'm convicted by this story because I am privileged. I am privileged in more ways than I probably even recognize. And Jesus is calling out to me not to deny that, but to use that privilege and invite other people into it and share that. To use the wealth I've been given to invite other people into that and share that, so that we all are privileged. So that privilege is a basic right of every human being. It convicts me, and I hope it convicts you. Because I think Jesus has a lot to add to our discussions in current times about the role of privilege, about whose life actually matters and why it's important to name those lives that have been neglected. And he shows us a way beyond our own privilege. I wonder what would have happened if that rich man had ever once stopped to hear Lazarus' story. Why he was on the street. What his life had been like. Why he became the person he became. I wonder what would have happened if Lazarus had ever become real. If his life had ever come to matter for the rich man. I think it would have been a different story. I am hoping that my story and your story will be different too. Because we've been willing to see the reality of our neighbor, to know that their life matters, and to hear their story. Just doing what Moses and the prophets and Jesus told us to do. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith mostly through our actions, but sometimes we use words. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and we're going to affirm our faith with the help of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right, following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and in the Narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if the prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those that you may not know who are worshiping with you and be sure to make an intentional effort to greet them following the service today. We offer sympathy to Olivia Illigan and her family who are mourning the death of her aunt, Ruth C. Kahiwat, who died August 24th in Manila, Philippines. To the family and friends of Dr. Joseph H. Allen Jr., who died Friday, September 16th. Among his survivors are his sons, Joe Allen and Kirby Allen, daughter-in-law, Linda Allen, and grandchildren, Hunter, David, and Sarah Allen. Services will be held on October 10th at 3 p.m. at Dr. Allen's home. And we send sympathy to Betty Ann Norling and her family in the death of her husband, Bob Norling, who died over the weekend. Arrangements are pending. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, giver of all good gifts, you have created us for life together. And in Christ, you have revealed to us that the true riches of faith are good works, generosity, and a desire to serve. Strengthen us this day to pursue all righteousness, godliness, and love with perseverance and gentleness, that we may take hold of the life that is really life. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for those who are under siege from war or illness or any adversity. Give them faith and hope. For those who live in fear, be with them in trouble. For those who are hungry or oppressed, those in prison or burdened by heavy labor, for the orphan, the widow, and the immigrant, give them food and freedom, justice and joy. Watch over them, O Lord. Merciful God, we offer you these prayers in the confidence that you alone have the grace to receive us and the power to deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, and now let us join together in praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We bring nothing into this world, and when we depart from this life, we will take nothing out of it. All that we have is a gift from God. Therefore, let us present our offerings to the Lord.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite Carlton and Marjorie Young to come forward. Turn around. Just turn around and face the congregation. Thank you. Marjorie is a retired secretary, and Carlton, who actually goes by Sam, is a retired elder in the East Ohio Conference and professor of church music emeritus from Candler School of Theology at Emory University. If you open the first couple of pages of your hymnal, you will see his name as the editor of the hymnal that we use each week. Because Sam is actually a member of the East Ohio Conference, Marjorie will be the one who will be joining us. She is transferring from Andrew Price United Methodist Church. Marjorie, as a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand? Join me in affirming our newest member and her family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Sam and Marjorie are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Go forth as followers of the Torah, the prophets, and the one who came to us from the dead to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who treasures each and every life he created, Jesus Christ, who taught us that the least of these are to be greatly honored, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Christ's way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.